The following interview is part of the Tales of the Trade series created by fellows in the Baltimore Youth Film Arts Program.
Before I retired, back in 2013, several years ago, I had done 40 straight years on the air. When I was a sophomore in college at Bethune-Cookman College down in Daytona Beach, Florida, I got a chance to be a radio DJ. R&B, soul, doing the thing, Stan the Man. And when I went home to Miami, at the end of my sophomore year, on my summer break, there was an ad in the paper that wanted minorities who might be interested in broadcasting. We're talking 1973, when I was a sophomore in college. There weren't many minorities in broadcasting, especially in South Florida. Didn't go on the air, but that was the start. Then I went back, finished up my last 2 years of college, came back home with a degree in sociology, even though I couldn't find a job in sociology. So because I had had that radio training at college, being a DJ, I decided I wanted to be a newsman. Well, I went to the Dade County, which is Miami, Board of Education, took up a radio broadcasting class, paid about $75, as opposed to tens of thousands that a lot of people pay for college just to get this type of training, and just took it from there. Things started from there. So I was in college, went home for the summer, came back, and the bug bit me. When I got my first TV job, I got out of college in 78, then I worked radio, all news radio, as a street reporter down home in Miami. And then a TV opportunity came in Durham, North Carolina, to be a sportscaster. And you know, Durham is a pretty heavy sports town. Duke University, UNC Chapel Hill, a couple of miles down the road. So the big opportunity, especially being a sports nut like me, was that first TV job in Durham. Well, basic sportscaster. My duties were basically to cover sports, ACC sports, Atlantic Coast Conference, Duke, North Carolina State were all in my backyard. Basketball, football, the whole works. It was a job where I was a weekend sports anchor, coming from being a radio guy, jumping right into weekend sports as a TV guy. And it was an adjustment, but not that hard, but it was well worth it. A lot of my focus came from being a father of eight. And when you have that responsibility at home and then have another responsibility as a public servant, especially in the public eye, you have to be focused or else you don't have a job. So I have to learn how to separate the two. I can't bring home to work and I can't bring work to home. The focus comes from just really making up your mind to be the best you can be. You have to get in the mirror sometimes and you have to convince yourself that you can meet all the responsibilities that are needed for this industry because it's not easy. And I have seen things over the years. I sit and I cringe at the TV a lot of times because I see a lot of misspellings on chyrons. I hear broken English. I hear basic things that all of us were taught in elementary school, middle school, all the way through high school when it came to speaking and writing that's just obliterated by not younger generation journalists, but by journalists nowadays who just don't care. Basic stuff like that. And I guess this country is so used to a new way of speaking. I notice nowadays, too, a lot of people start off every sentence with the word so. How you doing today? So, and that's how they answer instead of a direct answer. So little things like that, when you are really inclined to be on your details and watching everything specific what you do on the air, you watch for those little things because the little things are what your audience will pick up more than anything else, just as much as the big things. Not just as much as making a big mistake. A little mistake is glaring. So you almost have to be a perfectionist, even though that's impossible. But the harder you work at it, the better you come off on the air, I think. Hey, you know, we're just regular people. A lot of folks think we're robots or Martians or so, just because you see our face on TV every day. But we go through the same things everybody else goes through. You have to be real careful sometimes. And I'm telling you from personal experience, not to overdo it. You can be too rigid and it can come back to haunt you. I retired forcibly because I had serious medical problems. I had congestive heart failure. And that's something I really haven't said to anybody since I retired because it's something I've dealt with. I think moderation in everything is just the key. You know, if you just take it easy with everything you do and just try to maintain a balance in life every day, not being too high or too low, and carry that and maintain consistency, I think it'll be all right. But I think the younger generation, has a lot of potential. A lot of people think y'all are lost, like a lost generation. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. But I do think that you all are looking for guidance, and there's a certain responsibility for us older ones to provide that guidance. If they want to get into broadcasting, to start preparing yourself for whatever it takes to be a broadcaster. The first thing I think is you should be like a walking Google. Learn as much as you can, read as much as you can, Google as much as you can. Learn how to speak, learn how to pronounce words, because speaking influences a lot of first impressions. And now with the job market so tight and everybody overwhelmingly trying to get into the same positions and there are only a few positions, you gotta have something a little bit more to make yourself an outstanding candidate for a job. So get that speaking together. Learn how to listen, not just speak, because while you're an interviewer, you know, you're listening for things that your interviewee is saying that will help make your whole interview go better. So just those basic things, learning to speak, talk, write. But I say as a broadcaster, just learn how to get those words right. Instead of saying going to the store, why don't we say going to the store? Why don't we make every word right? But at the same time, that's a catch-22 also, because here you are trying to be yourself. And as a black guy, here I am, you know, I speak kind of like two different languages. I speak, you know, the Ebonics around the street, family, the regular thing. And then I speak like in front of these cameras as if there are 1,000 people on the other side of that lens. And I only have one chance for everybody to understand what I'm saying. So, you know, you have to just be conscientious of who you're speaking to and be yourself at the same time. That can be a challenge. If you're determined, what can stop you? Who can stop you? If you want something bad enough, who's going to get in your way?